Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, and welcome everyone to History Dweebs. My name is Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is Satan's son, serial killer Charles Edmund Collin. Charles Collin was a nurse and ended up being the most prolific serial killer in New Jersey history. So we're going to talk about all of his dastardly deeds. Before we do, let me remind you that we are a true crime / history podcast. We use adult humor, so if foul language offends you, you may want to check out one of the other great podcasts that are out there, like They Walk Among Us or Insight. Many, many good ones out there that don't use adult language, but we do. If that's okay with you, then we invite you to sit back and listen to our podcast.
And we actually, Timmy, we don't. We have one member who does incessantly.
Let me introduce our panel, and then we'll discuss that. I am joined by Her Majesty, the woman who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Queen Brandy the First. Long live the Queen. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you today?
I am well. You're getting ready for the weekend.
I guess I am. Okay. I am ready to go.
Have you recovered from your bouncy castle experience?
Barely.
Okay. Booby castle.
He has not been introduced yet.
I know. Well,
he's in Brandy time already.
Already. Isn't he always in Brandy time?
Let me introduce the third member of our panel, a man who is very distinguished. A man who has been described as an oasis in the desert of despair.
No.
A man who is the moral compass.
No.
Of not only our podcast, but podcasting overall.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you know who could use a moral compass?
He's already interrupted his own introduction.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing well, Timmy. I'm doing well. I got it out of my system about that fake colonel we did the other day.
I'm talking about Colonel Sanders. Yeah, that was yesterday.
Bogus ass guy. I'm doing well. But I'll tell you a show that needs a moral compass. And I like the show. You know us, we don't like to get into competition and things like that with other shows, but
all right, be careful.
Insight, Timmy.
Insight's a wonderful podcast. What are you talking about? They've got like 10 times the listeners that we do.
You know what? They might have 10 times the listeners, but they got Allie and she threatens to kill me, and I do not believe that's moral, Timmy.
Yeah, she's going to be here for the meetup, DweebCon, which will be happening in October. Mm-hmm. We invite all of you to join us. For more information, just go to our Facebook page, History Dweebs, the podcast. But we're having a meetup in October, and Allie's going to be here, and she will probably do some bodily damage to you.
She was kind to me in Indy.
Yeah.
But I bought her a drink.
Yeah. You might want to continue that practice.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're making a little change today. We're going to do Patreon shout outs at the end of the podcast because we get a lot of complaints that it takes us too long to get into the story. So with your permission, well, or without your permission, we're going to do it at the end. So, but we do appreciate all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/historytweebs. But we'll be giving a shout out to all of our listeners and all of our supporters at the end. So today's topic, Brandy, is Satan's son, serial killer Charles Edmund Cullen. What do you think about that?
I'm tickled.
Satan's son. So do you know him, Devil?
I think he's one of my children.
He was, in 2003, he told authorities, confessed that he murdered as many as 45 patients during the 16 years he worked as a nurse in 10 different hospitals in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
That's amazing.
Well, yeah. It's
one of those angel death motherfuckers. I hate these people.
This is like, what was this guy here in Cincinnati? Angel of Death?
Lee Harvey Oswald.
No.
Donald Harvey. I know who it is, goddammit.
Charles Edmund Cullen. Dumbass. I always think of a Bill Cullen, the guy on, you know, the guy, the game show host, Bill Cullen.
Nobody else thinks of that.
No, I don't even know who the fuck you're talking about.
Nobody else. Well, crack a history book, Chuck.
Yeah, because
the Gong Show's not history, Devil.
You're right. It's not.
Check out Bill Cullen. See what show he game show he managed. But anyway,
what are we to fucking research people?
Yeah, it should have all been done already.
You're a fact checker. Charles Edmund Cullen was born in West Orange, New Jersey, Brandy, on February 22nd, 1960. So you know what that means, Colonel? February 22nd.
His mom was pregnant during the holidays.
Yeah. All of the holidays.
Yes, she was. Yeah. She was big.
Labor Day.
Big and bloated.
Thanksgiving.
Veterans Day. Thanksgiving.
Arbor Day.
Christmas.
Flag
New
Day.
Year's. Dr. Martin Luther King Day.
Canada Day?
Pancake Day?
Groundhog Day?
She was pregnant on Canada Day. Canada Day was just yesterday.
Yeah, but she was, well, maybe.
I don't know why they even celebrate that fucking place.
We love our Canadian listeners. They shouldn't shut up.
They shouldn't do but like maybe three sparklers for the whole goddamn country.
Will you please?
Just because you didn't like Toronto, there's much more to that country than Toronto.
Well, and Toronto's a nice city.
It is not a nice city.
It is. I've been
they
there.
They look you straight in the eye. You say, hey, hello, how you doing? They just walk right past you.
Wait a minute. Timmy says he's been there. Now, let's keep in mind, Timmy probably didn't go out anywhere
except the
titty bar and
the
hotel.
The people at the titty bar and the concierge were nice to you, Timmy.
Yeah, they were nice.
The baseball stadium, they were nice. Anyway, let's get back to Charles Edmund Cullen. Can we please?
I think you're the one that got off that topic.
Yeah.
No, he started talking about Canada. He's anti-Canadian, and I don't like it because I love our brothers. And Shirley Strap is from Canada. Show some respect.
She's a little squirrely.
She's sweet.
Now, I like Christy Lee. She's from Toronto. And Aaron with an A is from Toronto.
Yes.
And Shirley is from Edmonton. And both these people, I was in Toronto, and neither one of them said, hey, you know what would be fun?
Well, that's because they know it wouldn't be fun.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
All right. Charles was Charles Cullen. Charles was the youngest of eight children in a deeply religious Catholic family.
Clearly.
His siblings included five sisters and two brothers.
Nice.
His father was a bus driver.
They must have been Catholic.
That's amazing that you got that out of what he said.
Did he say they were Catholic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Amazing.
Well, I grew up in a Catholic neighborhood, and every one of my friends had like eight brothers and sisters.
Well, yeah.
And Bill Cullen, brother. Look it up.
I looked it up. He had a career that spanned 50 years.
All right. What shows did he play on?
Price is Right. I've Got a Secret.
Price is Right is history. Man.
Okay. Yeah. Look.
He died in 1990.
Bob Barker is Price is Right. Let's not.
Okay. Remember when, what was the guy that always kissed people on Family Feud?
Oh, Richard Dawson.
Hogan's Heroes. Yeah. I wonder how he didn't get herpes.
I think he did. I think he got cold sores and shit, and that's why he had to quit kissing people on the lips.
Yeah, he was French kissing in some of them if they were attractive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And, you know, every once in a while he'd do that little butt squeeze.
Yeah.
I loved him on Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, well,
I liked him on Hogan's. He's dead now.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't get beat to death like Bob Crane doing a snuff film. It was not a gay porn snuff film.
All right, back to Charles Cullen. Jesus, you guys.
But didn't you notice Bob Crane? He liked to wear a lot of leather in Hogan's Heroes, Timmy.
Yeah, he did.
He had a leather hat, leather jacket.
You know, the Commandant?
I don't think he had leather pants.
What was the Commandant's name?
Colonel Clink.
You know his dad was a Nazi officer? He was in a Gestapo.
Well,
in real life.
So was Colonel Clink. He was the colonel of the Nazis.
No, but I mean in real life. His dad was a member of the SS.
No. So that's where he got his accent from?
Shame on that family.
You learn a lot on this show.
Yeah. All right. I don't think that was ever brought up.
Let's go back to Charles Collins, shall we?
I think you might have made that
up. Get back to the story. Jesus.
We'll try to stay on point. God,
his father was a bus driver, and his mother stayed home and raised the 8 children.
God help her. Mm. Thank you for your service.
It's been alleged that Charles' father raped him as a child.
No, what? That's no good.
No.
That is no good.
And
it
was young because Charles' father died at the age of 56 when Charles was just 7 months old. So.
Damn. But hold on.
Yeah, it's just in the research. I don't, you know what.
He was 7 months old when his father died.
And his dad raped him when he was an infant. That's the.
Before he was a year old?
That's been alleged. That's what's been alleged, yes. Before he was 7 months old, because his dad died when he was 7 months
old. You know, and maybe we have listeners that are social workers or whatever that can tell us this question. Would you.
I don't want to know.
I mean, clearly it would. I would think that would do some kind of physical damage to a child.
Well,
But would it do emotional damage at 7 months?
Well,
at
7 months.
I mean, at 7 months old, would you...
At 7 months.
Is that something
that's
you would
pretty,
remember?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
That's weird.
No,
and
I'm just
so
saying...
nasty. But yeah, I don't think at 7 months, you don't remember that.
I don't know. All I can say is this guy did not turn out well, so...
Well, no. But there probably were a lot of other factors that went into that.
You make your own decision after we hear.
There was
a lot
of other factors that went into that, I'm sure.
Two of his siblings would die in young adulhood. So that tragedy.
Well, fuck. When you got 45 siblings,
was he related to Chuck?
Statistics going to take over.
But he had a lot of tattoos, I guess.
Is he related to Chuck?
No.
A lot of tattoos. What the fuck's that got to do with
nothing?
That? Because he has people dying, he's getting tattoos
what
or whatever.
Oh, he is?
No, I'm just making. Chuck's the only one that does that. Silly shit. Charles described his childhood as miserable, Brandy.
Well, there's a lot of fucking kids there.
Yeah.
He did well in school, but was teased by other students.
And there's the making of a murderer.
You know what? Now, here's what I don't get. Mm. You get teased by, and, you know, I went to a school that was a very rough school.
I never can get through a paragraph.
And I didn't get teased so much as I got just, like, sometimes jumped by 3 and 4 people.
Yes.
I didn't come out. I mean, I came
really,
out okay.
Really, because you're the pillar of mental health?
Yeah. I didn't come out killing people randomly.
Well, let's remember you are the face of bloody stool and the face of erectile dysfunction.
Look, why don't you do that? You need to go on and sit down in your glass house and keep your stones to yourself.
I'm just saying, you don't see me sneaking around the bushes.
Just hold on to your stones.
Hitting people to meet Cleaver and doing all that stuff.
Hold on to your stones,
Not that we know of, and not yet.
Well,
it's a mystery. Everybody dies around you.
It's not like you would catch me if I was.
Yeah, everybody dies around you,
that's
so.
That's true.
Anyway, back. Enough of Chuck's life. Let's go talk
Could
about
Charles.
Could
you just stick with the story, please?
Thank you. When he was 8 years old, some older kids forced him in a car and threatened to kill him, Brandy.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's the infant. I don't know if it's the rape that's getting him fucked up or all this other stuff.
Well, I'm telling you, getting raped when you're an infant probably fucks you up.
How many times have you been forced into a car and people threatened to kill you, though?
They finally released him, Brandy, on the other side of town, some 10 miles from his home. Charles had to walk home. Now, he's 8 years old. He had to walk home wearing only his underwear in the pouring down rain.
Yeah. That's
a bad day right there.
That's what fucks you up.
His first attempted suicide was at the age of 9.
Damn. Jesus Christ.
By drinking chemicals taken from a chemistry set. Do you ever have a chemistry set when you was younger, Colonel?
I did, but I never knew what the fuck to do with it.
Yeah.
I used to.
I'm not surprised.
You didn't make math or anything?
I just went through the shit that you could catch on fire really quickly. And then I'd tell my sister that we were going to do a little experiment. And I would put a needle through a fingertip and then wipe it on the little thing, you know, the little glass plate and looking at a micro through the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't learn anything. I just like sticking her with. She was not the smartest girl in the world, so I just like to poke her with
it's
a shame.
Anyway, this happened when he was
God rest his soul.
Anyway, again, his first suicide attempt took place.
Collect your rocks and sit down.
Yeah. His first suicide attempt took place when he was 9. This would be the first of 20 such suicide attempts throughout his life.
Jesus.
Fucking loser. Can't even get that shit right.
Charles did well in school, Brandy, but teachers became concerned when he wrote an essay entitled Infinity Years. Years we will never know, where he talked about growing up in a world in which life was meaningless. In the essay, he spoke about hatred of his father, hatred for his father, and a desire to kill himself. So he hated his father, and his father died when he was 7 months old.
Maybe that's why he hated him.
Maybe it was an abandonment issue.
Right? Yeah.
All right. So anyway, the teachers became concerned.
Yeah.
Later, when he was a nurse, he would steal drugs from the hospital and try to use them to kill himself. But this, we'll get to that. In one attempt, when he tried to kill himself as a child, in one attempt he took a pair of scissors and stabbed himself in the head.
Fuck.
Yeah. Now, again. He jabbed him until they penetrated his skin. He was rushed to the hospital.
Were they safety scissors?
No, I think he's a regular pair of scissors. He was rushed to the hospital and had to have major surgery. So,
who hasn't stabbed themselves in the head with a pair of scissors?
Me and Brandy haven't.
Yeah, no, never done that.
When he was, okay.
Neither have I.
No.
You can relate. I'm sure you
asking
can
for a friend.
I'm sure you can relate to this, Colonel. When he was 14, he started to act out sexually at school.
What the fuck's that?
Charles was suspended 3 days for waving his penis at female classmates.
Oh, that's going to be one of my kids.
Yeah, other kids.
This
was before people could send dick pics. So, yeah. You know, you had to do the old fashioned way.
Live action.
Dick smoke signals.
Other kids started calling him the Flasher. Later that same year, he was arrested for mooning a police officer in the middle of a busy street.
Everybody's done that too.
Yeah, but this next one, not everyone's done, except maybe our comrade here. When he was 16 years old, Charles was hospitalized for injecting bacon fat into his penis.
Oh, that's this guy.
Yeah.
Bacon fat.
Oh, the bacon fat penis guy.
Maybe he wanted to make it more tasty.
Bacon.
Have you ever seen those guys that inject saline solution into the Johnsons?
No.
Look it up on the internet.
I do not want to look
it
up.
No, you got to look at it. It's something you got to see. They will make this get that pecker, Timmy, to where it's as big around as a Coke can. I mean,
why are you holding your hands out by your junk?
Because I'm protecting
look at him, Brandy.
Junk.
I'm
just saying it because I'm just trying to
but
give you an
you
idea
do that?
About how. Okay, imagine I got this 20-ounce Coke bottle right here. It they will inject their
you know what,
scrotum in their penis until it gets as big as this, and then they can't even get it erect.
You know what our cheer was in junior high when football? Bacon, bacon, greasy, greasy. We can beat your team. Easy, easy.
So that's, you know.
Illiterate bunch of motherfuckers.
It's hurtful.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, he's putting some bacon fat into his pecker at 16. Who among us haven't done that, Brandy?
Well, you know, it's safe to do if you're taking the Lipitor, Timmy. You're okay. But you start putting bacon fat right into your junk, your cholesterol going to shoot through the roof.
Yeah. What the fuck?
That's a good point.
Is that? Why would you think that that was a good idea?
I don't know. Maybe he was experimenting. Maybe he liked bacon. I don't know.
Was he trying to?
Is
he going to try and suck his own dick?
There wasn't a whole lot of explanation in the research about why he did it. I don't think he is making well thought out decisions here. When he was 17, his mother died in an automobile accident. His sister was driving. Charles blamed his sister and never forgave her. He later claimed that he often fantasized about killing his sister.
Well.
Devastated by his mother's death, Charles dropped out of high school. At the time, Charles' favorite musical group was the Village People.
Yes!
Village People were very popular, and they had a hit song titled In the Navy. You know that one, Chuck?
You could sail the seven seas in the Navy. You can play with bees in the Navy.
There you go.
That sucks.
You can get on your knees in the Navy.
Inspired by the song, Charles enlisted in the United States Navy in 1978. Brandy, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I don't blame him.
Thank you for your service.
In 1978, I wanted to enlist in the Navy.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
All right. So he was assigned to a submarine corps, and he served aboard a ballistic missile sub, the USS Woodrow Wilson, Colonel. You find that interesting, do you?
That's interesting, too.
He rose to the rank of petty officer third class.
Hey.
Now, see, we just had a second class seaman. Why you got to be third class now? How many classes you got to drop down before you become a real person?
It's part of the team that operated the ship's Poseidon missiles, Colonel. So this guy's got his finger on
the he's got one stuff. Hand on his bacon dick and the other one on the button for the missiles.
On the nuclear weapons, yeah. Charles struggled to fit into the Navy, Brandy. He was teased and hazed viciously by his fellow crew members. He was given the nickname
Bacon Dick?
No. Fish Belly.
Yeah.
By fellow officers due to his pale complexion. I don't know what fish belly, I guess. Is fish bellies pale, I guess?
Yes.
All right.
There you are.
In the Navy, Charles Collin showed signs of mental instability, Brandy.
Couldn't hide the crazy long,
I think that once he put the bacon fat in his dick, he showed a little
once
bit
once he becomes
of
bacon dick.
Well, then, I bet he didn't mention that to the recruiter. Or maybe he did. They just didn't write it down.
Is that frowned upon?
Anyway, in the Navy, he once served a shift in a green surgical gown, surgical mask, and latex gloves stolen from the ship's medical cabinet.
Was it Halloween?
He was transferred to supply ship USS Canopus. No, he
just, USS Canopus?
Yeah.
Cannabis?
Cannabis?
Canopus. 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 I don't know.
Oh, I like cannabis better. Sounds Charles, like a party boat.
Charles tried to kill himself several times over the next few years.
Does injecting bacon fat in your dick count as a suicide attempt?
No.
Seems like it would. It seems like that would cause a nasty infection.
Well, I don't know. His last attempt at suicide...
How would you pee?
In the Navy, and it was in 1984. So he got discharged from the Navy after his last suicide attempt, 1984. So he was in the Navy for 6 years. After leaving the Navy, he attended Mountainside School of Nursing, Brandy.
I bet he did some sodomy in the Navy, Demi.
And got a job...
with his bacon dick.
Got a job at the St. Barnabas Medical Center in Livingston, New Jersey in 1987.
St. Barnabas sounds like a circus.
I think of Barnaby Jones. I really don't think... I think
Barnum and Bailey Circus.
All right.
That's what I think of.
That same year, Brandy, he married a young lady named Adrienne Tube.
Tube?
T-A-U-B. How would you pronounce it?
T-A-U-B? Uh-huh. Taub?
All right. Adrienne Taub. The couple had two daughters together.
Well, good.
Charles soon began drinking heavily and was abusive to his wife, often locking her outside their home in frigid conditions.
Well, that's a clutch the pearls moment. This idiot was abusive. Get the fuck out of here.
Charles would spend hours in the bathroom reading pornographic magazines, Colonel.
Hours?
Hours.
He must have had delayed ejaculation syndrome.
Well, he couldn't ejaculate because of clogged up bacon grease.
Yeah, that's true.
His wife would often complain, Brandy, that his constant masturbation porn was ruining their sex lives.
Yeah, but who cares? If he's being abusive to you, let him smack one out to a couple of
So Charles to
magazines.
Swank.
Yeah.
So Charles agreed to give up masturbation on the weekends so that they could have proper sex.
Excellent.
See?
He's all about compromise.
I do not masturbate on Tuesdays.
Good announcement.
I'm just...
Is that your PSA?
And I know you're against masturbation.
I'm it's icky.
I do not do it on Tuesdays.
All right.
I don't know what's weirder.
That I don't do it and he doesn't do it on Tuesday.
Yeah. Well,
do you have a schedule?
Even God took a day off.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, Tuesday is my penis Sabbath.
You gotta let it rest.
You are totally going down.
It's the day of rest.
It is. Yeah, on the eighth day, God created my penis, and I got to let it rest on Tuesdays.
I see. I see.
All right.
I don't keep a schedule. You know, you don't?
No, I don't keep a schedule.
Well, check out my phone. I got dates in here.
I'm not touching your phone. No.
All right. So he agrees, his wife, that, you know, he's trying to make compromises here for this this marriage.
Because he's a giver.
He would give up masturbation on a weekend so they could have proper sex. He kept his promise, but no longer seemed to enjoy sex with his wife.
Well, maybe she was ugly.
I don't know.
Yes, it's her fault.
Around this time, Charles became interested in necrophilia, Brandy.
That is her fault, because she's not dead.
You know what? Maybe she just wasn't very active.
Well, here we go. His wife found...
He doesn't want him very active.
His wife found several magazines on the subject hidden in their closet. When she confronted Charles...
Wait. Hold on.
All right.
Hold on.
There's magazines dedicated to necrophilia.
Yeah, I have questions, because this is pre-internet.
Yeah, this is real
porn. So, where do you go exactly to find... Didn't even know that that stuff exists.
Necrophilia R Us? I don't know.
Yeah, Necrophilia R Us. Nice, nice.
I don't know, but he had them. I mean, there used to be adult bookstores and stuff where you can get all kind of kinky.
Right, but like Swank Postmortem, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. When, you know.
I don't understand. Like,
I don't know. But,
wait a minute. And how do you look the cashier in the eye as you're purchasing it?
I bet that the cashier is probably used to it. But you know, it used to be people buy porn through the mail.
Right.
So then it come in brown.
But again, how do you know that that's out there in order to get a thing?
Let me tell you something. Maybe he went to meetings or something. I don't know.
No.
Is there a necrophilia association, Colonel?
The problem is it's not a very active group.
No. But let me tell you something else.
And
I don't
you gotta wear sweaters and shit to the things because
they keep
it cold
in
there, yeah.
Let me tell you something else. I don't care who you are, if somebody goes rolling through your line with, you know, a necrophilia fetish, that shit that gets talked about. That shit.
Oh yeah, they're talking about that at Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, they're bringing that shit up at staff meetings. At, you know, watch this fucking guy here. They're bringing.
Remember that time?
We're gonna see this motherfucker on the news right here. This guy.
Remember that time that weirdo come in and bought a copy of Barely Breathing?
Yeah. Exactly.
Who makes a magazine, Barely Breathing?
That's the thing. How do you know
there? I bet if you got on like...
But there's like these, you know, there's these groups like that are like pedophile groups. I mean, like...
But that has been, that has exploded since the advent of the internet.
No, they had these men loves boys or whatever societies. Where
I know that they existed.
Right.
But it was...
The Black Mamba group or something.
But I mean, just... All that stuff has exploded since the internet because now information runs
freely. I guess if you were looking for it, you could find it, and he apparently was.
I would bet you $20 that if I went out looking for a necrophilia magazine, I would not find it.
It's hard to find magazines anymore. Back in the day, you could get the True Detective and whatnot.
True Confessions.
You could get that. Yeah, that's fine. Like, I get that.
But Necrophilia Digest, I ain't ever run across that one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like, just what?
Necrophilia Monthly.
Yeah. Death Becomes Her.
Necrophilia Geographic.
Death Comes on Her.
Oh. Yes.
You crushed that one, Neville.
I did.
Home and Grave.
Yeah. I don't understand.
But anyway, she found some pornographic, necrophilia related pornographic magazines in a closet. So she confronted him about it. And
how'd that go?
Charles tried to convince her it was quite normal.
How do you back out of that? How do you backpedal out of that?
Charles would later insist that his wife take a cold bath filled with ice water before they had sex. Charles stated he loved the feel of her cold, clammy skin after she had taken an ice bath. Charles would ask his wife to lay still and try not to breathe during sex.
First of all, I feel like she's probably doing that at this point anyway.
Yeah.
Second of all, Why are you still there? Because if, unless this motherfucker is throwing
you.
They
got a couple kids. She's trying to make it work.
No.
But why wouldn't he just shove some ice up in there?
But I mean, unless there's just no way the sex is that good.
On one occasion.
No.
On one occasion, Charles brought home a container of embalming fluid.
There we go.
And now he's going a step too far.
Well, he just wants claiming to that he's the smell, rub it on her and smell it.
Yeah, claiming that the smell aroused him.
Oh, that's some nasty shit, too.
Well, he seemed to like it.
Ew.
So, Brandy, what happens next to our friend Charles Cullen?
Jesus Christ.
Charles Edmund Cullen.
Charles fuck 'em dead Cullen. Well, Chuck committed his first murder on June the 11th, 1988.
Why am I surprised?
That's shocking. He did not kill somebody. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, you know, you have to... he's putting himself out there trying to meet people.
Dead or alive?
Preferably dead.
I wonder if he crashes funerals and wakes and shit.
There's people who do that.
I know. But I mean...
Let's start doing that, like going to a stranger's
I don't think I'd like that very much.
And those, like start... crying really, really loud, how much they meant to us.
God. Throwing ourselves down.
And trying to get it crawling through the coffin and stuff.
And have everybody look
at it. That will get people talking for years to come.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that will.
But you know, there's that one person in every family, somebody's going to look at them and go, oh, yeah, they're related to Aunt so-and-so over there. That's her kids. That's her side.
You know, the unfortunate passing of my sister. The thing that I noticed at funerals is that people will, they hug you and they come up and tell you, but some of them grope.
Yeah.
Some of them grope. You got the funeral gropers.
You know what I don't like?
Is that the problem? Mm-hmm. It's not talked about a lot.
It's not talked about a lot, but there are a subset of people out there.
I think because shame is involved in it. There's a great deal
of... And some of the people I didn't even know.
Well.
And I mean, in fairness,
and you
I was
actually opposed to it.
I was doing the groping,
right? I mean, so, but no,
yeah, there's nothing worse than a funeral groper, Brandy.
Here's my thing, and this has always been kind of my thing.
You have a thing.
And that's just because of the way I was raised or whatever. But if you're going to a funeral or visitation or whatever, like I get it. If you're like my one cousin or my one friend, her dad died, and he was a farmer, and so you know you have all these old farmers showing up in overalls or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But God damn it. Seriously, you can't find a decent pair of pants to put on. You got to show up in a Slayer t-shirt and some ripped acid wash jeans. Come on now.
Well,
come on.
I mean, it depends if the person was a big fan of Slayer.
No.
Wrong.
No.
If it's Winger, it'd be a whole different story.
Oh, you don't. You
do
don't,
not rag on Winger.
You do not show up. You do not show up, no, with a rat t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean,
because everybody knows you're just a dumbass.
Well, round clearly.
Round. Yeah. Round, round.
That song came on the radio the other
now
day.
Now, show
and
up
on
a
like,
highway, AC/DC,
like, stupid.
You know, Highway to Hell, that might be more appropriate. But
seriously, I mean, you're going to see somebody's family, they're laid out there. Could you at least put on some
put on
decent
polo shirt or something?
Put on your polo shirt. Put on your good jeans.
There's been a breakdown in society.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
it's the funeral
breakfast. And actually, I did notice it at my sister's. How many people had jeans and gym shoes on?
No. Yeah,
but Renee made me put a dark suit and a tie and everything else on. And then people grope me.
But the thing is, don't have funerals on casual Friday.
Well, for me, like the way I was raised, I'm not even comfortable wearing pants in church.
You don't wear pants? I'll at least put on a pair of pants.
No, I do not.
I mean, I have enough respect for Christ. I would like to reach out my hand, my hand in Christ to you, so that you
are going to die on your way home. Your bus is going in the
river.
You
know what? If I die on my way home, at least I'm going to heaven. Because you know why? When I go to church, I wear fucking pants.
Well, you got to remember, Timmy. She goes to a church where they're picking out partners at the meetings. At the services, so it's like
what,
no.
It's like a fucking river moon? What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, they got like 45 wives, so it's like, no, don't wear no pants, don't know where, no pants. Here's how it is in the Mormon church. If you got
you know,
pants,
my church is no pants, no service.
But that they are, if you got pants and shirts, no service.
Oh.
You can't go to the service because they want to pick you out. They want, it's like, I'll take that one. That redhead right over there.
It's like a cattle call.
Yeah.
Oh, huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
you just insulted
our listeners.
We don't have any Mormon listeners.
Yes, we do.
Well, we don't have any more after that.
We do. We do, and you're a jackass. So
well, I apologize to the real Mormons out there, but not the devil Mormon over here who
is a fake Mormon.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a fake Mormon. I'm not a good Mormon, but I'm certainly not a fake Mormon.
Well, you don't wear pants to church.
I was a real Mormon.
You walk in church without any drawers?
No, I wear drawers.
You wear your drawers?
I wear my drawers.
All right.
Do you wear the Mormon bloomer underwears?
No, I never... You know what? I never knew anything about that until long after I quit going to church.
Yeah, because you would have stayed if you known about the bloomers.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I don't think
that's not a deal breaker.
I don't think that's what would have kept me
there.
They
don't seem like they offer a lot of support. But, you know, women don't really need a lot of support unless you got the big labias. Then you need
Our hoo-has are pretty self-contained. There.
Well, no, not if you got the knee-length labias. I've seen those before.
Yeah, there's a fetish for that. For big labias.
You can get a magazine.
You actually now tell me.
Labia
tell me,
Illustrated.
Tell me, Labia Life. Tell me you haven't seen people hanging weights from their labias.
Yeah, all the time.
No,
it's fucking crazy.
Not necessarily. Well, probably in where you go.
It's a thing.
Some guy was like pulling an airplane or something with his junk. With his fucking balls, he hooked up an airplane. He's pulling in an airplane.
Yeah. Don't knock it unless you try it.
First of all, why is that? How do you find out you have that skill? That's always been my question.
Some balls.
Well, I would have to. At least two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But how do you even find out you have that skill? And then what in your mind says, you know, it's a good idea?
Here's what I think I'll do.
I'm going to throw some hooks in these bad boys. Yeah. And we're going to tow a Chrysler 6 blocks.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? All right.
Here, hold my beer.
Like it would,
hold my beer.
Yeah. All right.
It seems like it could do some damage to your scrotum.
You would think. Or at least prevent you from reproducing. Which is good because they probably shouldn't.
Yeah, that's true. But so, I try to always protect the scrotum. Don't you, Colonel?
My scrotum is... I have Lloyd's of London. They insured my scrotum.
How about that, Brandy?
Yeah. When I had my vasectomy... Lloyd's of London had somebody standing there next to the doctor making sure my scrotum was okay.
No.
What about that, Brandy?
No, that was just a spectator looking.
That was actually a medical student.
That was just a guy off the street.
Yeah.
All right. So Chuck committed his first murder June 11th, 1988. Judge John W. Yingo Sr. had been admitted to St. Barnabas Medical Center suffering from an allergic reaction to a blood thinning drug. Charles, his assigned nurse, administered a lethal overdose of the medication intravenously. He later admitted to killing 11 patients at St. Barnabas, including an AIDS patient who died after being given an overdose of insulin.
I would never go to a Barnabas hospital.
I'm telling you, it sounds like a circus.
You know, I would never want to die of an overdose of insulin. You know, if I'm going to die of an overdose, at least let it be heroin, not insulin.
Why?
I want it to be Lucky Charms. I have an overdose of Lucky Charms one day. Or pizza or Skyline Chili.
I don't know if you can do that. Charles quit his job at St. Barnabas in January of 1992 when hospital authorities began to investigate who might have tampered with bags of intravenous fluid. Mm-hmm. He then took a job at Warren Hospital in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, in February of 1992.
You know, this is what I don't get about these sumbitch angel of death fuckers, all right?
Okay.
People start dropping off on the ward that they're working on, and then they start to investigate, and the guy who's doing the killing says, oh, you know, I'm quitting now.
Yeah.
It doesn't raise any suspicion with anybody.
Yeah, we discussed that later on about some of the laws that changed since this guy did his thing.
Well, you probably didn't put it in the script.
Yeah, it is. It's actually in your part of the script.
Oh, it's in my part of the script.
We got that to look for. Had you read that?
Yeah. Typically, you save the pertinent information for yourself so you can blurt out.
Greedy bastard.
I know. Make us look uneducated.
Okay. I'm not saying
he has to do it any way he can because, you know. Whatever makes you feel better.
It's not that difficult, let me just say that.
It's not
Mount Everest. It's not.
Speaking of Mount Everest.
No. All right. So he gets a job at Warren Hospital. There, he murdered three elderly women, by giving them an overdose of the heart medication digoxin.
Digoxin.
There's a G in there, so I'm I don't know if that's a typo.
I think that might
or...
be a typo there, yeah.
Okay. His final victim said that a sneaky male nurse had injected her as she slept, but family members and other healthcare workers dismissed her comments.
And that's fucked up, man.
That is fucked up.
Somebody coming
well,
in and...
I mean, you know, you might think that she's hallucinating or dreaming or drug-induced.
People just whatever. Dropping over dead, and you got a witness saying, hey, this guy's
well,
shoving needles in my
they're
ass.
They're in a hospital. People drop over dead in the hospital all the time.
Okay.
It's like being around
you. Would make a shitty detective, you know that?
He would make a shitty detective.
It's like, let me just say this. Yeah. It's like being related to Chuck. Well, do you know, people don't investigate that.
No, because you know what? Here's the thing with Timmy. Timmy is the investigator that had Charles Manson.
Yeah.
And then just said, you know what? He's such a nice guy. He's just doing his thing. You go ahead.
Hippies do this stuff all the time.
He's a hippie.
Yeah. Well, do you know what my niece said to me after my dear sister's passing? God rest her soul. he said to me, just being related to you increases my chances of early death by 70%.
Yeah. So you're a dangerous motherfucker.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's not going to be me and Brandy drop over dead. No one's going to investigate that. Oh, they knew Chuck.
Oh, if one of us drops over dead, please investigate. I want that put out there. I want a thorough investigation done.
We thought you were going to die when they took you away in the
ambulance.
Yeah. You were gone.
No, all Chuck cared about was seeing my boobs.
Well, we were actually thinking about all the good scripts that we could do together.
Were you?
Yeah, right, Tom?
None of you motherfuckers came up to see me or answered the phone.
Okay, here's the thing. We were not admitted to the hospital.
You weren't admitted.
We went to the ER. They don't take visitors at the ER.
Two things. First of all, they do, and I was sitting out in the waiting room having a heart attack, so you could have seen me there. Second of all,
you want me to stop eating?
No, I don't want that.
B-dubs.
Right, I don't want that.
I was having a nice naked chicken tenders with a side.
Second of all, I was out for like 2 months when I got my gallbladder out. Not one of you motherfuckers. Hey, you need some soup?
Motherfucker, I called you
I
once.
I texted you.
Call me for 2 months.
I texted you.
No, nobody came to see me. Nobody sent flowers. Nobody sent shit.
You know, I
meant to.
Yeah. We talked about it. And I'm just going to say this. You don't really put out the most welcoming vibe. You don't seem like the kind of, you don't seem like the kind of person that if you're laying in the bed in a nightgown that I come, hey, devil, it's me, Chuck, that like you're going to be excited to see me.
I would have been excited. I was so goddamn bored. I'd have been so fucking excited.
I'm not buying that to
I'd have gotten you some hot tea.
Next time that you're hospitalized, we'll come and see you.
Nah, fuck you people. I'm not going to tell you. All right. So in
I'll
January.
Send a card anyway. An e-card.
Well, actually, Kevin
was getting ready to send a card to the emergency. Should we send flowers or something? Well, let's see if she dies first. We were talking about that.
We said, no, you wait to see if she gets admitted.
You don't know if you're getting a get well or condolence card.
That's shitty.
You don't want to
stop fucking talking to me.
You don't have to send two.
In January of 1993, Adrian Collin filed for divorce.
Oh.
She later filed two domestic violence complaints against him. Shocking. The divorce papers and domestic violence complaints depicted Collin as an alcoholic, someone who abused pets by placing them in bowling bags and trash cans, poured lighter fluid onto other people's drinks, and made prank calls to funeral homes. He sounds like a good time.
Making prank calls to funerals.
How old is this guy?
He sounds like a good time. Well, she didn't even get into it. Yeah, and he makes me get in a bathtub of ice before I'll, you know, have the sexy time.
Sprays embalming blood.
Yeah.
Hello, is your hearse running?
Exactly. He received shared custody of his daughters and moved into a basement apartment in Phillipsburg.
Do you have Albert in a can?
Can I come over and fuck him?
What the fuck is wrong with the two of you?
That old, do you have Prince Albert in a can?
No, I got it. I got
well,
it.
You better let him out. He said, can I come over and fuck him?
Perfect.
I can kind of get the prank calls. I might be doing it
to funeral homes.
You know, it's fucked up. Now they got caller ID. That really ruined.
Oh, that ruined the prank call industry.
It really did.
Let's see. He wanted to quit nursing in 1993, but court ordered child support payments forced him to keep working.
See, he was trying to go straight.
Yeah.
The man, if they would have him down.
The man made him kill people.
Well, in March of 93, Charles became obsessed with an attractive female co-worker, and he began to stalk her. Shocking. Charles broke into the co-worker's home while she and her young son slept, but left without waking them. Charles then started phoning her frequently, leaving numerous messages.
Dear Prince and Albert, following, again.
And following her at work and around town. The woman filed a complaint and Colin pled guilty to trespassing and was placed on a year's probation.
My brother used to have he used to talk to his girlfriend. We had the old, party, or, the extensions.
A party line?
No, the extensions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where you pick up the phone in one room and listen in to conversation. I had this one buddy, and he would always pick up the phone and say, my brother would be talking to his girlfriend or whatever, and my friend would pick up the phone and say, and then he said. And then he said.
I wish you all could see. Timmy can't even stand himself. He's so fucking tickled right now.
Oh, my God. It cracked me up.
I can tell.
And then my friend Marty. And then he said.
Marty Furnier.
Yeah, Marty Furnier. Yeah.
He's a friend of mine.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Well, perfect. You better now?
Yes.
All righty.
What's funny?
Dumbass. let's see. So the woman filed a complaint. He gets out. Okay, the day after his arrest, Colin attempted suicide.
Again?
Yeah. He took 2 months off of work and was treated for depression at 2 psychiatric facilities.
I don't believe he was committed.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
To suicide.
Clearly.
20 times.
He attempted suicide 2 more times before the end of the year. He left his employment at Warren Hospital in December of 93 and took a job at Hunter Medical Center in Rarity Township, New Jersey, early the next year. Charles worked in the hospital's intensive care cardiac care unit for 3 years. Oh, well. During his first 2 years, Colin claims he didn't murder anyone.
Yeah, he seems like he's living, going straight.
There you go.
Wasn't me.
Don't look at me.
But hospital records for the time period have already been destroyed at the time of his arrest in 2003, preventing any investigation into these claims. Hmm. He did, however, admit to murdering 5 patients in the first 9 months of 1996. Once more, Colin administered overdoses of dioxin. There it is.
He really liked that dioxin, didn't he?
Well.
Okay, so I'm going to be honest with you here. Those first 9, I did not murder them. But the second 5, I did.
Yeah, I got that one. You know, it's like, right.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I'm telling you, truthfully. Yeah.
You know, just at that point, just fess up.
Yeah.
Charles became a licensed registered nurse in Pennsylvania in 1994, scored extremely high on the National Council licensure examination for registered nurses. He found work at Morris Memorial Hospital in Morris, New Jersey. He was fired in August of 1997 for poor performance. He remained unemployed for 6 months and
by
stopped.
Poor performance, they meant killing people.
Right. Yeah. I can get fired from being a nurse for that. Let's see. He remained unemployed
for
6 months.
Remember when they used to describe male guys that were nurses as male nurses?
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
No.
It's just nurse.
Nurse. Yeah. He stopped making child support payments. In October of 97, Cullen appeared in the Warren Hospital emergency room and sought treatment for depression. He was admitted to a psychiatric facility but left a short time later. His treatment had not improved his mental health.
Tried to kill himself again. How many suicide? And what do they constitute as a suicide?
I think
attempt?
He had over 20 attempts.
20? Yeah, 20 attempts.
But here's the thing. He tried to kill himself 20 times unsuccessfully, but he murdered 45 people successfully.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's really trying.
I don't think he's trying at all.
Well,
I don't think this son of a bitch, he's a slacker.
Here, this.
He's neighbors, got that bacon fat.
Bacon dick.
Yeah, bacon dick.
Neighbors said he could be found chasing cats down the street in the dead of night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yelling or talking to himself and making faces at people when he thought they weren't looking. You do that shit now. In February of 1988, Cullen was hired by Liberty Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Allentown.
He worked.
Wasn't that a song?
Yes.
Billy Joel. In here in Allentown.
Oh, that's Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
Yeah, Billy Joel. Not, yeah. I was thinking it was Bruce.
He worked in a ward for patients who needed ventilators to breathe.
Don't you ever confuse
you
Billy,
know, Billy Joel.
You
know, Billy Joel, does he seem conceited to you?
I don't know. I've never
not
really
anymore.
Thought much
now,
of...
I would have been conceited if I was while I was married to Christy Brinkley.
Yeah.
I would have been
she was
humbled
an up,
when
she was
she
an
left
uptown
my
girl.
House.
Living in her uptown world.
Uptown
no.
She been
first of all, that's
in
the wrong key. There's so much wrong with that.
Sing, I didn't. We didn't start the fire. I
no.
like that song.
We didn't start the fire.
Look.
But it's been always burning since the world been turning. JFK, blah, 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 blown away, blah, 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 blown away.
Who is
away.
Singing that song? Because that is awful.
I always thought we could do a podcast. We'd take every topic of that song.
Yeah. All right. So he's working in this place where they need ventilators to breathe. Charles told colleagues that he thought the ventilators were not necessary, because in his medical opinion.
All right.
They weren't necessary, and they created a dependence just like the drugs.
Oh, well, yeah, you could become dependent on them, I suppose.
In May, Charles filed for bankruptcy, claiming nearly $67,000 in debts. Liberty Nursing Home fired Charles in 1998 after he was seen entering a patient's room holding two syringes in his hands like daggers. The patient ended up with a broken arm, but apparently no injections were made. Charles Cullen was accused of giving patients drugs at unscheduled times. He then went and worked at Elston Hospital in Elston, Pennsylvania from November of 98 to March of 99. On December 30th of 1998, he murdered yet another patient with dioxin.
See, here's the pattern. He keeps quitting or getting fired before
right.
they investigate, and the hospitals are so worried about being sued for a...
they won't investigate
yeah,
it.
A, yeah. Well, they don't want to investigate it. It's easier just to sweep
right.
it under the rug.
Well, and it's kind of like here. They don't really look into what we do because they don't want to know.
Okay.
It's kind of like making sausage.
Yeah, it's kind of... Well, it's kind of like... You know, think about it. Every all these memes you see,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, everything's better with bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Is a dick better with bacon grease in it?
I don't know. We have to put a
you
poll
You can get
up.
Bacon lube.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, how would you know that?
I heard about it.
Yeah, where did you see that at? Because I've never... Have you heard of that, Colonel?
What?
Bacon lube.
Bacon lube?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious where you saw all that.
I've heard of it
yeah.
on the radio. They play a
really?
Program that I listened to in the morning was talking about it.
A bacon lube.
Yes.
Hmm.
Is it just bacon grease that you smear
no,
on yourself?
No, it seems a bacon little... lube. It's supposed to smell and taste like bacon.
It seems like that would be a... topic that wouldn't be discussed on a radio show. It
yeah.
sounds like it'd be something you might see on some
pornographic
website.
Yeah, you've been watching Cinemax again, devil.
Taxi cab confessions.
First of all, you two are fucking idiots. Don't even pull that shit on me. Look at the fuck up.
Bacon lube. Hold on.
A coroner's blood test showed lethal amounts.
Why am I a fucking researcher all of a sudden? I'm like
fact checker.
Lethal amounts of dioxin.
Don't even consider yourself a researcher, motherfucker.
Oh, I know.
Fact checker.
Okay, because this motherfucker in here doing the hieroglyphics and shit and putting them in a script.
I know.
Bacon lube, it came right up.
See?
It's trending.
Holy shit. Are you fucking kidding me?
See?
Oh, no, this is for your beards. Who in the fuck will put bacon grease in their beard? And I'm going to tell you this. For all you hipster motherfuckers with beards, all right?
They drink Pabst Blue Ribbon.
If you cannot change the brakes on your car, shave the goddamn beard. Okay. Shave the fucking beard.
Go ahead, Brandon.
You don't get to walk around with work boots.
Well, chop a tree and down tree, or something.
Or you can chop a tree down. You can do any kind. Do some manly shit.
Yeah.
All right?
Just don't but carry do your not PBR.
Carry your PBR.
And got your bacon lube in your beard.
Walk into a bar and order an apple teeny. That should just get you knocked right out of the bar.
Yes.
I think I mentioned this before.
Did you find the bacon lube for the sexy time?
It's like $24 a bottle.
I know, but what does it say?
It says Dirty South Bacon, 4 ounces.
Why wouldn't you just grab some bacon grease and put it in your ass?
Because there is a huge difference there between bacon lube and bacon grease.
Anyway, I went to this.
Hold on. What the fuck? Here you go, devil.
Nope.
Here you go.
Nope.
Bacon scented underwear.
So I can have dogs follow me around all day?
No, it's for men.
Oh, no. So they can have dogs? First of all, there ain't no girl going to follow you around if you smell like bacon.
Bacon. All right, Colonel. So, please continue. You interrupted by in some important story I had. But, you know.
Tell me your goddamn story.
No, I think I mentioned this before. We went to dinner up to in Chicago last summer, and we went to one of these trendy little, you know, hipster restaurants, and I ordered a cola, I ordered a Diet Coke or something, and they said, we don't serve that here. We have house cola.
Oh, yeah. Those motherfuckers. House kiss cola. My ass. You got RC, motherfucker, that you're pouring into a
Sprite,
cup.
God damn it. House cola.
That's an amazing story cola. That I'm glad
no,
I stopped
No, there's
for.
A little place down here that I asked them, I said, do you have Coke? And they said, we have Mexican Coke.
Oh, Mexican Coke's the shit.
And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Because it's made with real sugar.
Yeah, but yeah, I didn't
it's
know.
It's the shit.
And I said, okay, give me one of them. Motherfucker, bring out like a 4-ounce bottle.
Yeah, no.
I was like, you're going to need to get like 6 of those.
Yeah.
Does this come with free refills?
There's one of my favorite places to eat ever makes its own house cola. It's really good.
I think it's fucking pretentious as hell.
Okay.
Well, remember those machines, those soda machines? You can make your own soda.
I have one.
Oh yeah, you do like
those. Have kind of fizzled out.
Well, you can.
You see what I did?
No,
I
do. You can still do it. Like if you go to one of the, you know what? I hate those soda machines where you gotta push the big button in the middle. And
does that wear you out? I love those.
Like
those
that.
Coke freestyle machines.
Oh my god!
I love those. Mixing
so
up
many
30
choices.
Different five
just give me 5 choices and let me put the cup against the little thing, and then I'll get the pop I want. I don't want to play with the little thing and I have to select which cola I want. But you ever like put in different ones, like Mountain Dew with Pepsi with
no.
Coke? Oh, it's quite tasty.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's quite tasty.
No.
Call them suicides.
Yeah, I know what they're called.
Yeah, quite tasty.
I was a kid once too.
It's quite tasty.
No, they're not. They're gross.
Are you gonna get done with your part of
oh,
this?
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Would you? Yeah, we ain't got
so,
a fucking day here.
So he murders another patient with dioxin.
You know, you don't sound like you care.
Or
it, you know, it's. I mean, we're
no
talking about old people's lives here. Say, so he murders another person with dioxin.
Because
so
I already read that part.
Old,
wait a minute, this one isn't dioxin; it's digoxin.
Digoxin again?
Yeah.
He got the digoxin?
Digoxin, which I think is generic for dioxin, but I can't swear to it.
But anyway.
Tell me again how stupid we are.
Can you please?
The coroner's blood test showed lethal amounts of dioxin in the patient's blood, but an investigation was inconclusive and nothing pointed definitively to Charles as the murderer. Charles continued to find work. A nationwide nursing shortage made it difficult for hospitals to recruit nurses, and no reporting mechanisms or other systems existed to identify nurses with mental health issues or employment problems. Charles took a job at a burn unit at Lehigh Valley Hospital in Allentown, Pennsylvania, in March of 99. During his tenure at Lehigh Valley Hospital, Colin murdered one patient and attempted to murder another.
Can you show a little concern? You just read it like
why
this.
Why, they're dead
you
already?
Here,
you have
can,
no
can I just see your script for 1 second there, devil? Just one
let
second.
Let him show you how
let
to
me
do
show
it.
You.
Let him show you how
to do it. Let me just show you something here.
Show, put some emotion in it, Colonel.
When we get
these
back
are people's
to this.
Lives.
Wait a minute. You're not, you struggle to read your own part. Why are you reading mine?
Charles continued to find work, But a nationwide nursing shortage made it difficult for hospitals to recruit nurses.
And you see how he did it there?
And
he
no reporting mechanisms or other system existed to identify nurses with mental illness.
Read your own shit.
Brandy, that's how you read it. Read it with feeling. Yeah. Read it from your diaphragm.
First of all, let's not talk about my diaphragm.
Ain't no potty coming that bitch's way. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Colonel. Please continue.
I'm going to adjust my mic so I can get into this.
Christ in a sidecar. Can you get on with it? Eyes.
In April of 1999, Timmy, Cullen voluntarily resigned from Lehigh Valley Hospital and took a job at St. Luke's Hospital in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, that's where Bethlehem still is from.
It's where Jesus
and
was born,
Jesus.
Too.
And the baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus and still.
Where
still
he...
what? Still waters? Still what?
Please don't make fun. You are discriminating against me.
Don't
because
be so
of
racist.
My Appalachian background.
Yeah. I'm not discriminating
against
you.
Oh, you're discriminating.
No, I'm making fun of you.
Yeah. Racist.
Discriminating would be.
You're triggering me. You're
something.
Triggering me, devil.
Triggering
with your
you.
Racism. Okay? Your racism is triggering.
You're blatantly racist. And making fun of my Appalachian heritage.
You're a
horrible
I'm just
saying
person.
There's a difference between still and steel.
Well, can we get back to what this dastardly
Could
bastard
we?
Was doing? He gets his job where Jesus' hometown is
Bethlehem,
Pennsylvania.
I know. He was born in Bethlehem, someplace over there in the Middle East.
Thanks for the religious lesson.
Where
Not
he,
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, I don't think you know shit from apple butter, so how you like that?
I'm pretty sure it was.
You don't know shit from apple butter.
Bethlehem, let's see where he was in Nazareth, right?
Well, they did call him Jesus of Nazareth.
Tuesday's gone with the wind.
I like that song.
Love hurts.
Yeah, he sang it.
Ain't no messing with the.
Do you want me to do this part or not?
Yeah, I'm looking at where Jesus was born, but go ahead.
Are you
Jesus
me?
Christ, crack open a book once in a while, motherfucker. You don't know where Jesus
I
is
swear
born?
I have never read
crack
the Bible.
Open a history book.
I've never read the Bible.
You've never read the no. heathen motherfuckers?
No, you know what? And the funny thing is my mom, she insists that she took us to Sunday school every Sunday.
You know what? If Dottie says she did it, you did it.
And Jesus was born in Nazareth, by the way.
I know. But, everybody in the world knows Jesus was born in Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. They called him Jesus of Nazareth. Why do you think they called him that?
I want to know. I get confused with these relationships. So his mom was Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. His dad was God. But his dad was also Joseph.
Well, Joseph was like a stepfather.
Stepdad, yeah.
He was a father figure. I will be your father.
He was his earthly father.
I'm just saying.
Easy, George.
I'm just saying, if you're the Messiah, you know, you should be able to know who to get the card for.
Are we really going to go down this road?
Father's Day.
I agree.
No. He's the son of God, and let's just move on.
Is
I didn't
he the
know we
son
were
of
debating
God,
that.
Or is he God, Timmy? Because there's a...
Well, he's the Trinity, right?
Well,
no, he can't.
Son. Jesus isn't God.
According to Christian beliefs, the Trinity, Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, all one and the same.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To be a Christian. Yeah. How do you not know that?
Yeah, I know
How can
that,
you call yourself
I don't know
a Christian
shit.
And not know that?
She's not
The
Christian.
Whole Christian faith is based on the Trinity.
No,
belief
I got
in the Trinity.
The Trinity. I got that.
But it's the belief
but
that
God
Jesus
and
God...
Jesus are different things.
They're, no, the Trinity would say that they're all the same.
Okay. Read.
Okay, well, we're going to have a debate about this because you was wrong about the goddamn gravy. Now you're trying to tell me
I'm not wrong about the gravy.
Lord and Savior.
Oh, I got the gravy.
I just think it's hilarious the three of us are sitting around debating religion.
I don't want to ever do it again.
Because you know what? None of us in this room know shit about religion.
You know what? I'm going to give Renee a call here right now. She'll tell you about the Trinity. God damn it.
So. Hey, come on.
Yeah.
Don't
settle down.
Okay, yeah.
I'm serious. I don't know a lot about religion. I didn't study religion. And,
settle down.
Well, you don't know Jesus was from Nazareth.
But I did know.
I mean,
I did know.
Was he
the
lead
know,
singer or the bass player?
I did know that. I didn't know about the Holy Trinity, though.
Wouldn't that be awesome if there was a guy in Nazareth named Jesus?
I bet he could whip off some wicked riffs.
Oh,
It'd be all like this, and his bass was playing.
Okay, so I guess tell me more. Listeners.
Okay, I'm going to tell you more because this gets
We have probably offended very people, grim. And we're sorry. We don't mean to make fun of religion.
I'm not making fun of it. We're having a discussion.
Questioning it. Just wanting to know the facts.
Well, I don't want people to be offended by it. We're not really making fun of it. We're
okay.
Idiots.
Thank you for the disclaimer.
I'm an idiot. I don't know a whole lot about religion. I admit that.
But you keep talking about it.
Well, I know that there's
and
a
now
Trinity.
You're on the internet trying to look up something about Christianity.
Now I'm on the Facebook.
It's like
page.
You're trying to.
What
so
happens?
Now you're on the internet. You're trying to figure out the whole thing about God.
Yeah, you can find out God.com.
You ain't gonna find God on the internet.
God.com.
I think there's a conspicuous lack of
of God on
of
the
God
internet.
On the
you
internet.
Know what? I'll ask Allie. She knows everything. She can tell me about God.
You know, there's a lot of religious people in our group.
Allie is very religious.
She's Australian. She can't have that much.
Oh, for the love of Pete, will you read?
Well, I mean, there's all.
Allie's one of my favorite people in the world.
She's one of my favorite people in the world too, but she's a convict.
She is not a convict.
Everybody from Australia sprang from convicts.
Because it's a penal colony.
It's a penal colony.
It's a penal colony.
Come on. Shout out to Nick Johnson.
Hello, Nick.
All right, continue, Colonel.
Okay, now, I'm going to start over here because I feel like you broke my pace. In April 1999, Timmy.
Yes.
Cullen voluntarily resigned from Lehigh Valley Hospital and took a job at St. Luke's Hospital in Bethlehem, not the birthplace of our Lord and Savior, Pennsylvania, where he was suspected of administering non-prescribed drugs to patients, Timmy.
Should not do that.
I wish somebody would have done that to me.
Can you feel the pain in my voice when I say that?
Yes.
Unlike that flat effect over here.
She has no effect.
No compassion. Cullen then worked at St. Luke's Cardiac Care over the next 3 years.
How do you live with yourself?
Over the next 3 years, he murdered 5 more patients and attempted to murder 2 more.
And see,
I am outraged.
See, you can hear the outrage in his voice. But when you say it, it's like, killed somebody else.
Yeah, it's like I filled up the car with gas, and he killed 5 people. So in January.
Well, you know. The lack of empathy is a sign of mental illness.
Let me tell you something.
Sociopathy.
I just want this noted. Motherfucker's going to want to get out of here in about an hour, and yet he continues to interrupt and take us off track. We could have had this done forever ago.
I try to be entertaining for our listeners. The listeners love me.
Yeah,
and
he said now or whatever thing was.
He does not, they do not particularly, they love it when the Colonel and I do podcasts on our own. Isn't that right, Colonel?
They tend to, yeah.
We see a spike in the numbers.
Do you?
A huge spike.
I'm going to put a spike in your head.
No, I'm just kidding. We love you, Brandy, even if
fuck off.
Even if our listeners don't.
Yeah, even if the listeners don't like you that much.
Yeah.
Now, there's some dedicated women on Team Brandy.
Oh, they are now. They make their Team Brandy.
My team is amazing, but go ahead.
Bunch of dirty whores.
I have a lot of... my team's kind of under the radar.
You only got 2 people on
They're kind of under the radar. They don't... You know, they don't like...
They're not flashy.
They're not flashy. They're not fancy.
They don't even admit they're on Team Timmy.
They don't ask
for
much.
Well, push comes to shove, they will, but they don't go out. You know, they don't have to wear it on their sleeve.
I could run off the names of 5, 10 women that could be on the cover of Maxim magazine right now that are on Team Colonel.
All right, but don't do that. Let's get on to the script.
Okay.
Gang, let's remember where you are.
I forgot. I'm going to start all over
again. No.
So in January.
Why do? I mean, seriously, there's people who actually listen to this podcast.
And
would you?
In January, Cullen attempted suicide.
Yeah, 2000. July 2000.
January 2.
Yeah. He can't count.
He attempted suicide again.
All right.
He put a charcoal grill in his bathtub.
Yes.
Lit it and hoped that the carbon monoxide would kill him.
Why didn't he just throw a toaster in his bathtub?
I don't know. This don't seem like...
Why didn't he just jump out a window?
You know why he fucked up?
You know that whole murder-suicide thing? Start with the suicide.
this son of a bitch just don't know how to do it. All he had to do was put his fucking head in a grill. What's a bathtub got to do with anything?
I don't think that he. I don't think he was thinking.
It's not well thought through.
Yeah, why didn't he set himself on fire? So neighbors smelled the smoke, called the fire department and the police. This douchebag's taken to the hospital and the psychiatric facility. But he was back home the following day because, you know, that's not
well, that our unusual. mental health, you know, well, system well, in this country.
We are on top of things when it comes to mental health.
All over.
So no one suspected Cullen of murdering patients at St. Luke's Hospital because Timmy was on the case. And it was like, oh, yeah, that's what people do. You know, the old people, they drop over dead.
Inspector Clouseau.
Exactly. Until a co-worker accidentally.
More like Columbo.
Found files of unused.
Oh, you'll see me on some sometimes downtown wearing a raincoat.
Yeah, but I don't think you investigate in crimes. Yeah, I mean, I think you might be committing crimes.
He just looks like McGruff the crime dog.
He got his little fedora on.
That's right. Then he looks like where in the world's Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah. I never liked that game. I couldn't get that.
You
game.
Could never find her.
No. Well, I thought she was in San Diego.
No, that's her name, which is why you suck at that game.
Yeah. I was good at Leisure Suit Larry, though.
Were you?
Yeah.
I like Waldo.
I want it noted Timmy's phone went off.
No, it wasn't my phone.
It was your phone.
No, it was not.
Okay, now.
I see my sound is off.
Okay, now there's people dying here, goddammit. Could we pay attention?
It's Chuck's phone.
My phone way over here. Ain't got nothing to do with my phone. Now, listen to me. No one suspected Cullen was murdering patients at St. Luke's until a co-worker accidentally found vials of unused medication in the disposal bin.
Whoops.
So, okay, so he was trying to smuggle drugs out of the
motherfucker.
Just keep going.
He had them packed in his ass, Timmy. No, they were in the garbage can, all right?
Yeah, because he was sneaking them out.
It appeared
the oldest trick in the book.
Sneaking them out of the hospital.
He was sneaking them out. I think he was throwing them away.
No, he was sneaking them out. He would go to the dumpster. The drugs were not valuable outside the hospital and were not used by recreational drug users, so the theft seemed curious.
Huh.
An investigation showed that Charles had taken the medication and he was fired and escorted from the building in June 2002. Seven St. Luke's nurses who worked with Charles later met with Lehigh County District Attorney to alert the authorities of their suspicions that Charles Cullen had used drugs to kill patients. They pointed out between January and June 2002, Cullen had worked 20% of the hours on his unit, but was present for nearly 2/3 of the deaths.
Yeah, that's a little...
It's a statistical anomaly that
needed to be investigated. I like that word, Colonel.
Thank you.
Anomaly?
Yeah.
Can you say it?
No.
But okay. Investigators never looked into his past, and the case was dropped 9 months later for lack of evidence. Charles worked for a short time at Sacred Heart Hospital in Allentown, but did not get along with his co-workers.
Shocking.
And often he didn't get along with
the
patients.
They closed all the factories down in Allentown.
That's what I heard.
And he left. In September 2002, Charles found a job at Somerset Medical Hospital in Somerset, New Jersey, Timmy. Charles worked in Somerset's critical care unit where people die all the time. His depression was getting worse, even though he had begun dating a local woman. A live woman, a woman with a pulse.
That's why he's sad.
Yeah.
At Somerset, see, this is a crazy thing. He was into necrophilia. He was killing people, but he never banged the corpses.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Hold on.
Oh, I was going to say, he probably left that out.
Maybe I should have read this. Okay. So anyway, at Somerset, Charles Cullen murdered 8 more patients and attempted to murder another one by June. See the outrage?
Yeah, it's quite dramatic reading you're doing.
Yeah. Once more, his drugs of choice were dioxin and insulin. Now, on June 18th, 2003, Cullen attempted to murder Philip Greger, a patient at Somerset. Greger survived and was discharged. He died 6 months later of natural causes.
Or did he?
Well.
Soon afterwards, the hospital's computer system showed that Cullen was accessing the records of patients he was not assigned to.
That's suspicious.
Co-workers were seeing him in patients' room. Computerized drug dispensing cabinets, I hate those sumbitches, was showing that Cullen was requesting medications that patients had not been prescribed. The executive director...
Something is amiss, Brandy.
Something is amiss, yeah. The executive director of the New Jersey Poison Information and Education System warned Somerset Medical Center officials in July 2003 that at least four of the suspicious overdoses indicated that an employee was killing patients. But the hospital put off contacting authorities until October. By then, Charles Cullen had killed another five patients and attempted to kill a sixth, Timmy.
He's out of control. He's really out of control.
He then proceeded to have sex with the victims.
Ah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you know, they were there.
You cannot just kill somebody and bang them. It's just not socially acceptable. So state officials penalized the hospital, Timmy, for failing to report a non-fatal insulin overdose in August. The overdose had been administered by Cullen. When Cullen's final victim died of low blood sugar in October, the medical center alerted outside authorities. An investigation into Cullen's employment history revealed past suspicions about his involvement with prior deaths. Hmm. Huh. The pieces of the puzzle
Somebody
are
should
starting
have done a background
to fall
check.
Place. Yeah. I think they got it on the thing now. Have you ever murdered anybody? Do you want to murder
That's
anybody?
That's what I had to fill that out when I came here.
Do you get a Woody murdering anybody? And if they're dead, would you get a Woody and act upon that Woody?
You know, I worked for the FBI for a year. And they made me...
Deputy Dog.
Made me fill out... I had to swear that I wasn't a communist.
Bet those crimes went down.
Well, on the CIA...
No, I didn't. I didn't, huh?
On the CIA
I applied for one.
On the CIA website, they advise you not to tell anybody that you applied to the CIA.
Oh, well, I'm telling people.
Yeah. Well,
they advise you not to.
You get laid.
And then your computer explodes.
I'm going to get me a little CIA t-shirt.
And then your computer explodes.
That's a panty dropper working for the CIA.
Well, Charles was arrested. Okay, so now Somerset Medical, they fired him for lying on his job application. Not for murdering and banging, but for lying on his job application.
Can't have it.
Police kept him under surveillance for several weeks until they finished their investigation. Charles was arrested on one count of...
murder.
And one count of attempted...
murder.
At a restaurant on December 14th, 2003.
He was arrested at a restaurant or he was picked up on suspicion of murder at a restaurant.
I know, but I'm not going to tell you.
He was arrested on one count of
commas are crucial.
And one count of
murder.
Attempted murder at a restaurant December. There ain't a fucking comma in this son of a bitch. So on December, I got words that are scratched out. I got all kinds of shit here. I mean,
did he kill anybody at the restaurant?
Yeah. So on December 14, 2003, he admitted to the murder of the Reverend Florian Gall and the attempted murder of 10 Kayusha Han, both patients at Somerset. In April 2004, Cullen pleaded guilty at a New Jersey court to killing 13 patients and attempting to kill two others by lethal injection while employed at Somerset.
That's a baker's dozen.
Well, you need those even numbers.
Yeah.
As part of his plea agreement, he promised to cooperate with authorities and not to kill no more people.
Oh.
If they did not seek the death penalty for his crimes.
I hope they don't let that motherfucker work in the infirmary.
Right, in the jail.
A month later, he pleaded guilty to the murder of three more patients in New Jersey.
He did promise not to kill any more people.
Oh, yeah.
In November 2004.
Word is bond.
Pinky swear.
Word is bond.
He pled guilty in a Pennsylvania court to killing six patients and trying to kill three others.
Where's the outrage is what I want to know.
You can hear my voice. The outrage. That's outrage, Timmy. Right. Not what you was reading, devil. You was reading like...
Yeah,
and then she said,
"I think it's her medication. It takes.
It might be. It's, yeah. Anyway,
my medication is the only reason you two are still sitting upright.
As of July 2005, to Ott-Ott-5. Charles Cullen remained in the Somerset County Jail in New Jersey as authorities continued to investigate the possibility of his involvement in other deaths, because now these fucking Clouseaus are putting shit together. After a bunch of old people, of course, you know, and I don't mean to sound insensitive.
No, oh, well.
But this all happened.
But he's going to.
That's always followed by an insensitive remark.
No, I don't mean to sound insensitive, but if you're going to wait 10 years to investigate a motherfucker for killing old people, those people is going to be dead anyway.
You don't know that.
More than likely. Statistically,
you don't know that.
Be dead. He doesn't know that.
You don't know that.
I don't know that.
None of us know.
None of us know.
None of us know
None
when
of us
the good
have
Lord
a
is going to call us home.
Well, you, later on today.
Well, first of all, the Lord ain't calling you because the Lord don't know your name, Timmy.
I pray every night.
No, screaming, oh, God, does not count as praying.
Yeah. I pray that you get off this fucking podcast.
It's hurtful.
I thought maybe we'd do 10.
Somebody sends you text and pictures of their boobs is not really a religious thing,
you know,
Timmy.
You know, the easiest way to get a titty shot is to hand me the phone and it will pop up.
It'll pop right up.
You know, I never ask for women to send me pictures like that. They feel compelled to, and I I don't know why. I don't even talk. You know, Claire and I have been dating, 3 years, 2.5 years? We've never once talked about sex. Not one time talked about sex.
Actually had sex.
We've had sex, but we don't.
Is it good sex?
Yeah, she's amazing.
I mean, because she looks
she's
like
bendy.
She's beautiful.
She's passionate. Woman. I mean, it's wonderful. But I don't get the whole cyber sexting and all that. I don't get that. I don't get the
thrill. You know what? I would do anything pretty much if I can have my penis in my hand while I'm doing it, Timmy.
Okay, well.
Perfect.
Put your penis in your hand and finish the fucking script.
Hold on for a minute. Now, on March 10, what do you mean, motherfucker? Look at me and finish your script. You had to pop in here
do
with...
you know what I got in my hand?
Put your penis in Tim's hand. Let's get on with it.
I do not touch peni.
So on March 10...
I don't even touch my own.
2-6, Cullen was brought into
the
courtroom.
Will you stop it with the aunts?
Oh, it's already getting dusty.
When odds only count when it's in the 20th century, not 2000. They're no longer odds.
When you go pee, then does it just spray off like a big fire hose? Just
It's usually all over the place? It's usually well before the time I get to the urinal.
Ah. Do you wash your hands before you pee?
You know what? I do. And you know what?
You know what? Because I do. Because I figure, you know what? This only thing I got going for me, and I need to take good care of it. So I wash my hands before I touch it. I ain't
before,
touching
during,
that
and
thing
after?
Before, during. You know, I ain't touching that thing with dirty hands.
If I touch food, I have to wash my hands. It drives me crazy. After I eat, if I touch food, it just drives me nuts not until I wash my hands. That's my little.
Jesus Christ.
I wash my hands if I do butt stuff and things like that. I keep hand sanitizer with me.
Butt stuff.
You know, it just made me laugh because it was the thread on the pages.
On our Facebook
was
page.
On our Facebook page, if you was invisible for one day, what would you do? And my only answer was butt stuff.
Cause, Jesus.
Because I'm just imagining somebody sitting in the shower.
All right,
or whatever,
confession time.
Like,
Brandy, have you
no,
ever...
No, it's not confession time. It's time to get this fucking over with.
Have you ever engaged in any type
I'm
of
not
anal
participating
sex?
In
no,
this
I'm
conversation
just,
at all.
It's just me and you and Chuck.
I'm not, yeah, no,
the
not.
Recording's and, off. We're,
no,
this is personal between
no,
us.
No, it's all bullshit lies. Come on, let's go.
Chuck, how about you?
Huh?
How about you?
I think I've made myself clear on that point before.
Oh, my God. Come on.
So you have.
We're about ready to get stormed
you
on.
Have.
Yeah, like just maybe 30 minutes ago.
All right.
So
right before he walked in to do this podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
Every time I do one of these podcasts, I You're feel like I'm ass? Being violated. Yeah. So anyway, on March 10, 2-6.
Jesus Christ.
Cullen was brought into the courtroom of Lehigh County President Judge William Pratt for a sentencing hearing.
His friends called him Bill.
Cullen was upset with the judge, kept repeating, "Your Honor, you need to step down.
You're out of order.
You are out of order.
This whole courtroom's out of order." And
he probably watched that. He probably watched Justice for
Injustice.
All.
That's one of my favorite movies. Well, I just told Dominique to watch
it. I mean, he takes life advice from the village people, so anything's possible.
He's career advice.
Yeah.
Now, he did this.
I wonder if he went to the YMCA.
Probably.
For 30 minutes. Until Platt had him gagged with a cloth and duct tape.
Mm. Yes.
And then zip tied his hands behind his back. And bent him over the desk and sodomized him in the courtroom.
Come on, he did not. Get to the point.
He did do the duct tape stuff.
Yeah, though. He did. They duct taped him. And
you know, somebody was thinking about sodomizing.
No.
Once you get the duct tape on somebody, somebody's thinking about some sodomy. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're weird.
I think you think about sodomy if
a
someone,
lot.
Someone talks about the weather.
Charles, come.
It's going to rain.
I'll tell you what, today.
It's going to rain. You know what else is coming down? Sodomy.
Sodomy. I'm in a group text, and I don't like to be in that group text with my whole family. And Renee is like, have you seen the sky today? It's beautiful. Now, the fucking boys, I got one in Chicago, one in Cincinnati, one in Los Angeles. What fucking sky
Who's
are you talking
LA?
About, Tanner?
Oh, is he really?
He's just there for a short while, he's going back to Chicago. So she's like, it's a beautiful day. The sky is so blue outside. And I was like, it's, you know, and they're all being happy to one another. I was like, you know what? It's hotter than Satan's nutsack outside. How is it a beautiful day? And then everybody turns on me. Like,
are
I
we
going to
hit a point sometime?
There's no point.
Because you're on a group text of who gives a fuck.
Because I want them to get me off of the group text.
What?
I get out
what does
and
that
they
have
add
to do
me
with,
again.
What does that have to do with him or sodomy?
It's because I get sodomized. I get violated by these group texts.
Okay.
Come on. They violate my phone.
You're killing me. You're violating
so Charles,
my senses.
Now, hold on. Let me get to where I'm at here.
All right.
Charles Cullen was sentenced to 11 consecutive, consecutive, not concurrent.
All right.
Right.
Life sentences in New Jersey.
So if he's reincarnated.
To be ineligible for parole for 397 years. But, see, this is where the law went easy on him. With good behavior, he could get out in 212. He was held at the state pen in Trenton, New Jersey. Prompted by the Cullen case, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and 35 other states adopted new laws which encourage employers to give honest appraisal of workers' job performance and which give employers immunity when they provide a truthful employee appraisal. Many of the laws passed in 2004-2005 strengthened disclosure requirements for healthcare facilities, bolster legal protection for healthcare facilities that report improper patient care, and require licensed healthcare professionals to undergo criminal background checks and be fingerprinted at their own cost. Currently, he is held at the New Jersey State Prison in Trenton, New Jersey. Charles Edmund Cullen will be eligible for parole in the year 2403.
No,
which
it's
brings
2043.
No, 2403.
Okay, well, in any event, we're not going to be around when that happens.
But here's an important takeaway from that, Timmy. Something, and
they
I'm
changed,
serious about
they
this.
They changed the laws because of that.
But, you know, if you're an employer, if you want to hire somebody and you call,
yes,
and get an employee reference, and I learned this in staffing because companies would do this all the time. They think legally they were protecting themselves by just giving dates and positions and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But if this person was stealing and you knew it, or they were doing some dangerous shit and you fired them because of it and didn't disclose it, you can get your ass in the ring.
Well, it always puts employers in a difficult position because you can also be sued for negligence if you give out information that you're not 100% sure of. So
if it's the truth, you need to disclose it is the point. If you know it to be the truth, you need to disclose it.
Yeah. But, you know,
like
there's
on the devil's next
hiring,
job.
Whole,
you know, if we don't disclose the kind of person she is, that she's liable to stab somebody with a pen, whatnot, we're going to be liable.
Brandy, your final thoughts on serial killer Charles Edmund Cullen.
It's a dick.
All right. Colonel, your final thoughts on Charles Edmund Cullen.
Well, I think he was good at killing people and sucked at killing himself.
Good point.
That's ironic.
Yeah.
Colonel, I have a special request for you.
Okay.
Tomorrow, July the 8th.
That's Saturday.
Is my mother's birthday.
Dottie?
Yes.
Is Dottie's birthday? I will be over there, Timmy.
No, I don't want you come over. I just want you to sing happy birthday for her briefly.
Ready?
Yes. Wait, wouldn't it be better if he called her tomorrow on her birthday or called you?
I might
and then
do
you could
both.
Give her the phone.
I might do both.
And sing him happy birthday.
Sing it now. Sing it now.
You ready? You ready?
Do it live.
Happy birthday to you, Daddy. Happy birthday to you, Timmy's mom. Happy birthday, dear Daddy Scott. Happy birthday to you.
Happy
well,
birthday,
Aaron Neville
mom.
There at the
Happy
end.
Birthday, Daddy.
Happy birthday, Daddy.
I love you.
Actually, Daddy, you're the only reason we do this damn show. Well, so you're responsible for all this mess.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Brandy, you're going to give us our Patreon shout outs. We'd like to thank all of you who support us through Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee tiny bit, Timmy.
Yes, we love our Patreon supporters. And Brandy, who are we going to shout out today?
Our Patreon supporters are Daniel and Kimberly Bassett, Jen Moyer, David Hill, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Shelley Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Maggie Glover, Lorna Violet, Andrea Odell, Janilyn Bergeron, Jim Seabright, Michael Deo, Russ Charlotte, Karen Widner, Callie Jones, Joseph Kerr, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Joe Hopkins with the Now American History Podcast.
An excellent podcast.
Becky Omlett, Karen Alden, Cheryl Pierce, Caitlin Campbell, Fiona Crisp, Christine Bourgeois, Donna Curran, Maja, Aaron with an A, Kimberly Cambron, Elise Edrington, Diane Student with the History Goes Bump podcast.
Another great podcast.
Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara Lopes. Good Lord. Chip and Alicia, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia, Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Jennifer Siemens, Cindy Liu, Heather Poole, the crew at Canadian True Crime.
Another excellent podcast.
Christy. Now, she's one of the good people, good Canadians.
Yeah, she's got a great podcast.
The ladies at Insight.
Allie and Charlie. Insight. Yes, our good friends.
Nene, Bridget Bernhard, the cast and crew of They Walk Among Us.
Oh, Roseanne and Ben. Ben's got the greatest voice in
probably
podcasting.
The best Easy. Podcast that's out there.
No, he does. Yeah, you listen to his voice. He's got a great voice.
He is
for
wonderful.
Podcasts.
And then, of course, Squirm.
Squirm,
Rick, with Ricky. Yeah.
Ricky's hysterical. That's something. You know, they do that.
I can't even get through
and
this
I just,
list.
I told Rosanna, the funniest part of that damn show is Ricky's commentary.
Oh yeah, he's hilarious.
I mean, he's hysterical.
He is.
If you listen to an episode, start with the one about the gifts he gets from his mother.
Oh, I would start at one. I mean, if you start listening to one, you'll listen to them all. I mean, it's
episode number two, and you get to know Ricky really well in that one.
Yeah, he's really a funny guy.
Oh, he's hysterical.
Continue. We good?
Yeah.
Stacy, Christine Hauer, Cheryl Weldon. Rudy the Wonder Dog, and we have a new Patreon sponsor, Kristen Malachinsky.
Yes, and Sue Story.
And Sue Story, yes, Sue Story.
Thank you all very much for supporting us. It helps us keep the show on air, and we appreciate it very, very much. And again, if you would like to contribute, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. And if you can't, you can't afford it, that's okay. Just keep listening. We love you anyway. All right, so this is going to wrap up our podcast for today. Please join us at our Facebook page at History Dweebs, the podcast, or follow us on Twitter at History Dweebs 1. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.